Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we give thanks this morning, Lord. We give thanks that you do answer our prayers, Lord. When we truly ask in your name, when we truly ask in your Father's will, that our prayers are answered, Lord. We thank you, Father, that in this crazy world, we have the blessed assurance of your promise, your eternal promise. No matter how lost we get, no matter how far we go, you're always there to receive us, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is always there for us. And no matter how much trouble we have in this world, Lord, we thank you that you have overcome the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right, so today my sermon title is Speaking Clearly. Speaking Clearly. And I've always been a firm believer in the power of prayer. Being raised Catholic and being Hispanic, prayer was always a part of our lives. And I remember my grandmas, or my nanas, as we call them, having altars set up on top of their dressers, you know. They all had the same little altar on top of their dresser drawers, right? And they had the saints and the candles and the rosaries, and it was our culture, you know. But apparently those prayers worked, because I'm still here as a testament, right, of God's miraculous transforming power. Of a prodigal son to a son of the church. Amen? And now for the past few weeks, we've been talking about praying in God's name and praying in God's will. And when the Bible says, ask and you shall receive, it's referring to these kind of prayers. The prayers that are prayed in God's will. Amen? And Billy Graham once said, prayer is not about using God, it's more often about getting us in a position where God can use us. Amen? And he continued, he said, he was watching one day, he was watching the deckhands on the great liner, United States ship liner, and they docked the ship in the harbor. And so they threw a rope out to the men on the dock, you know, when they docked the boat. And then inside the boat were these great motors that went to work pulling the cables. Okay? So, oddly enough, the pier wasn't pulled to the ship, right? The ship was pulled to the pier. Amen? And so prayer is the rope that pulls God and us together, just like the ship and the pier, right? But it doesn't pull God down to us. Amen? It pulls us up to God. It pulls us to God. And we must learn to say with Christ, the master of the art of praying, not my will, but his be done. When we pray, it's not our will, it's his be done. Amen? Praying in the will of God is not just the words we say, it's a matter of the heart. When we pray, it's not just what we're saying, it's not just going through the motions, it's a matter of the heart. Amen? We're praying from the heart. And God invites us not only to, it's not only for healing, it's for reaching to heal others, okay? So when we pray to heal others and ourselves. Whether we use our works, our testimonies, or our prayers, God can use our heart condition to help others, amen? And that's what the church is all about. That's what we're supposed to be about, loving others to Christ, loving each other, loving even our enemies, amen? And so in our first verses, it says, in that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And the next verse says, until now you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. So, talking about, we got to ask in God's name. Amen? Matthew Henry wrote, asking of the Father shows a sense of spiritual wants and a desire of spiritual blessings, with conviction that they are to be had from God only. Asking in Christ's name is acknowledging our unworthiness to receive any favors from God. It shows our full dependence upon Christ as the Lord our righteousness. Basically, there's only one way to the Father. Amen? There's only one way to the Father. And that's in word and deed and in Christ. Amen? And we pray to God because He wants us to talk to Him. That's what prayer is. Prayer is talking to God. Amen? And it's about a relationship. We talk about, I say this every week, it's about a relationship. Amen? We pray to God because He wants us to talk to Him. He is our loving Father, and that's why we're here, right? We're not here because of the pastor's messages. We're not here because of the coffee. We're not here because of the pastries. We're not here because of the music. We're here because we want to be in the presence of the Father. Amen? That's what it's all about. And we're not here for Long Black Train either. Amen? although it's a great song now. But we're here because God loves us and we want to hear from Him. Amen? We want to be in community with each other as well, our forever family. Amen? And which, of course, includes the Father. So it is more important than just coming to church and praying. It's about everything we do. Amen? It's about the way we live our lives. It's not just about being here and punching our ticket. It's about everything we do, everything we say. We want to please the One that loves us unconditionally. In everything we do, we want to please God. Amen? We want the blessed assurance of a relationship where we can ask and receive the joy of the Lord, which brings peace to all of our lives. That's where the peace comes from. Amen? The next verse says, "Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but I will tell you plainly about my Father." I will tell you plainly about my Father. I got this story for you about difficult to understand, okay? There was a man walking on the beach one day, and he came across a bottle. And he kicked it, and a genie came swooping out of the bottle. Amen? The genie thanked him for releasing him from the bottle and told the man he was so thankful that he was going to grant him any wish he wanted. Just one wish, okay? Not three. Any wish he wanted. So the man said, "Well, I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I'm afraid of the water and I'm afraid to fly, so I couldn't go. Would you please make me a bridge from California to Hawaii so I can drive there?" And the genie rubs his forehead and he says, "Look, I'm really grateful that you let me out of that bottle, out of the little bottle, but it's a little bit ridiculous for me to grant such a wish." He said, "It would take me weeks, perhaps months, to have all that dirt hauled to build a bridge across the ocean, right?" So the man said, "I don't care, that's my wish." And the genie asked, "Is there anything else that you would like me to do for you instead? Is there anything else that I could do for you?" And the man thought for a few minutes and he said, "All right, there is something else. I always wish to be able to understand women." Right? So again, the genie rubs his head and he thought for a few minutes and the genie asked him, "Do you want a 2-lane or a 4-lane highway going to Hawaii?" Right? So understanding anyone can be difficult, okay? If we're not paying attention, if we show no interest, or if we just don't believe, whether it's a friend, an enemy, a spouse, or even Jesus, we have to want to seek a relationship. Amen? We have to want to seek a relationship or an understanding of what the other one is talking about or trying to show us. We got to show that want of the relationship. So up to this point in His ministry, Jesus has been speaking in many parables and illustrations. Okay? So why did He do this? Why did Jesus speak in parables? In Matthew 13:10 through 13, when the disciples asked Jesus, they said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And in the next verse, Jesus told them, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." And that's why I speak in parables. The the unwillingness on the part of the people to receive Jesus' message of the kingdom was the reason that he taught in parables, because they didn't want to hear the message. Amen? The truths of the kingdom of God were heard by them, but they were not understood. It was not because God was hiding the truth from them. It was because they didn't want to hear the truth. They didn't want to hear it. And that's why God spoke in, or that's why Jesus spoke in parables, because he wanted them to want to hear it, to understand. Amen? So God had given the people every chance to accept the message of Christ. His ministry was confirmed through miracles, right? He was the proven Messiah. He was the proven Messiah, yet they did not believe him. So the truth of the kingdom of God was not theirs to know. But those who believed in Jesus understood the parables. They understood because they were paying attention. And just like those who believe in their relationships will understand each other. Amen? And so the next verses say that, in that day you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and believed that I came from God. So remember last week when I said that the Holy Spirit had come at Pentecost to reveal to all generations, right? Not just them back then, but to all generations who believe. Amen? The Holy Spirit. So the Lord now hears all of our prayers. Amen? The Lord hears all of our prayers. We can come to the throne of grace at any time because of the cross. At any time. On Shepherd's Chapel that I watch, it's an old TV show that does Bible study on TV. And at the end, they say, now for all these people that are asking for prayer requests, there's no need to send in prayer requests. You can kneel and pray to God yourself. You have your own relationship with the Lord. You can pray at any time where you're at. You don't need to send in prayer requests. You speak to the Lord in your relationship. Amen? And so the Lord hears all of our prayers. The verse says, I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. He says, wait. He's not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. So, but I thought Christ was our mediator, right? Christ is supposed to be our mediator. He's the one that's supposed to intercede for us, right? So we have to look at the context of this scripture. Once again, we have to look at the context. This particular verse was directed at the disciples. Amen? And that's why he's telling them that I'm not going to intercede for you. I'm not going to ask on your behalf. He's saying to them that I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back. Amen? So they had been following Jesus around for 3 years. He was their connection to the Father. And now he's telling them, I'm leaving. I got to go. Okay, so they're freaking out. So, but this doesn't mean that your relationship to the Father is over. Oh no, it's just going to get better. That's what he's telling them. He's saying, the relationship's not over because I'm leaving. It's going to get better. And he's telling them that he doesn't need to be present with them anymore. Amen? Because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is going to come live in them. And that's the miracle of the cross that is still with each and every one of us today. You know, the Holy Spirit lives within us. Amen? As Christians, the Holy Spirit lives within us. We don't have to rely on a physical Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We don't have to rely on a pastor or a priest or our parents' spirituality to save us. And we don't have to rely on a figure or a saint or even a symbol or an idol. Amen? We have the Holy Spirit within us. Amen? Me and my wife, we try to go to Mexico at least once a year. And we usually go to Guadalajara because that's where she's from. Amen? And it's a beautiful place anyway. So, but there's a lot of idolatry and a lot of worshiping of saints in Catholicism, and which is widespread in Mexico. Amen? So we have visited many cathedrals where there are many altars to many saints. You walk in these cathedrals and they got altars everywhere. Amen? Of all these different saints. But worshiping these saints and confessing to priests, um, it's not biblical, and it's not necessary. Amen? As Christians, the Bible tells us that we have our own relationship. We don't have to. We worship God and none other. Amen? And so we can pray and worship God in Jesus' name anytime, anywhere we want. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That was made available to all of us at Pentecost. But many people still worship idols and they still worship figures. Amen? And so a few years ago, on one of our trips to Mexico, we visited this small town that my wife used to go to with her family as a child, called Temaca. Did I pronounce it right? Temaca. Okay? Temaca. So, the little town was practically deserted, but they had this huge water park at the end of town. Okay? And, which I thought I remembered the park being closed and them opening it up just for us. Because there was nobody around, right? My wife said it was already open, but anyways. So, we were the only ones there at the park that day. And so we're all there and we're walking around this trail around the park. And I noticed this cliff. There was this cliff. And there's a chapel right at the base of the cliff. Amen? A white chapel. And so I asked my wife, I said, "What's that all about? Why is there a chapel up there?" And she proceeded to tell me the story of Jesus' picture on the rock. And I forget what the official name was. They got a name for it. But here's the rock, okay? So this is like a sheer cliff where the water's been coming down for hundreds of years. And I guess this image has been on there for 100 years or so. And this is supposed to, they say that it's Jesus, okay? So I'm going to kind of show you. This would be his head right here. And this is his arm. And this is his torso. And then his legs are right here, okay? So that's supposed to be Jesus, and it's an impression made in the rock from the water, okay? So, so apparently after years of the water running down, it left this picture on there. So they built a shrine in a small little chapel where people go. So people come to this town to worship this picture that's on the rock, amen? And we've all heard different stories about, you know, different kinds of food. They like what was it? Different things that are shaped and look like Jesus or look like, you know, images, right? So there have been many items and locations, even people that have worshipped because of some relation to Christ, right? So even in something that's, you know, just something that's related to it, people start worshiping these things, amen. But the truth is, the way, the truth, and the life is found with us through the Holy Spirit. It's not found through these things, and it's not found through symbolism. It's found through Christ. Amen? The Holy Spirit. So verse 27 says, "The Father Himself loves us because we love Jesus. The Father Himself wants to hear from us, from each and every one of us. He wants us to pray and ask for forgiveness in Jesus' name every day." Amen? Morris wrote about these verses. He said, "The reason that Christ would not intercede for them is now given. There would be no need. The Father Himself loves them. He does not need to be persuaded to be gracious. In this case, the ground of acceptance is the relationship in which they stand to Jesus." Now, this verse was concerning the disciples, but this acceptance through a relationship thing speaks to all of us. Amen? The relationship thing is for all of us. Now, this verse was concerning the disciples, but this acceptance through a relationship speaks to us all. So today, if we have that relationship, we are all led by the Holy Spirit. If we have that relationship, we're led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So we who are led by the Spirit. How many fathers do we have here today? Right? Okay? Mothers too. How much do you love your children? Right? Amen? Mucho, right? We love our children so much. And, well, where do you think that love came from? Where do you think that love comes from? God the Father. We love because He loved us first. Amen? We love because God loved us first. And that's 1 John 4:19. God loved us first. He loved us before we were even born. Amen? In fact, Jesus loved us and died on a cross before we were even conceived. Right? And Revelation 13:8 says, "The Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world." The Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. This means that from creation of the world, because of God's foreknowledge of our sin, and that we would reject Him, God knew that His Son would die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, to pay for the price of our sins, so that we may be restored in a relationship with God. Amen? This was known before the creation. And John 14:6 says that no one comes to the Father except through Me. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Amen? Verse 28 says, "I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." So God knew before creation that He would give His only Son so that none may perish for the remittance of the sins of the world. So I just asked you, how much do you love your children, right? Well, God loves you so much more than that. He is love. He created love. And yet He sacrificed His Son, whom He loves so much more than we can even imagine for us. We can't even imagine how much God loves us. Amen? He gave His Son, whom He loved, for us. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When I first heard that verse, I was like, wow. You know, while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. My life, where I came from, and what I've gone through, and what He accomplished in my life, started to make sense when I thought about that verse. You know, Christ died for me while I was in my sin. The Lord was always by my side. Through all my years as a prodigal son, my long-suffering, patient Lord was by my side. Washed by the blood. Next one, Stevie. We are washed. Are you washed by the blood? Are you washed in the blood? The blood of the Lamb. This would be the work of the cross. This would be the fulfillment of the Father's plan. This would be the ultimate prophecy fulfilled. This would be the ultimate sacrifice. The blood of the Lamb. But remember, Jesus was going back to the Father, and He would send the Holy Spirit in His place back to us. Because of God's unconditional love for us, Jesus would send the Holy Spirit. Amen? The next verse is Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things, and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." So now all of a sudden they understand, right? Or do they? Are they pretending? Or maybe they're just trying to appease Christ because they couldn't understand up to this point, right? So they're trying to get off the hook maybe and tell the Lord that, you know, now we understand. Even the Lord's looking at him and He's saying, "Oh, do you now believe?" Right? The next verse He says, "Do you now believe?" Then He says, "A time is coming, in fact it has come, when you will be scattered. Each of you to your own home. You will leave Me all alone. Yet I will not be alone, for My Father is with Me." So the Lord's saying that in just a few hours, everyone's going to scatter. He's telling them, "You're all going to scatter. You're going to abandon Me, and your faith is going to be tested like never before." So these are the Lord's chosen apostles, and He's allowing them and their faith to be completely shaken before their beliefs will be confirmed through the resurrection. Amen? These are His people, and He's letting them be shaken, right? He chose them. So upon His arrest, they would scatter, and they would even deny Him in the face of persecution. But they weren't the only ones that would scatter. Amen? They weren't the only ones that would stray. Many of us stray from God's plan for our lives. Many of us stray. Many of us scatter. And we run as fast as we can from the one that loves us the most. Looking back now, I can see all the times that God was waiting for me. All the times that God was chasing me. And I was running from the one that loved me. I remember many missed opportunities and blessings because I would rather live a lie than the truth. I would rather live a lie. I was believing the lies of the devil and running away from the truth. But one day I saw the revelation of the cross. I realized my potential to do all things through Christ. Because of God's persistent love for me, I finally saw the lies of the devil and I was redeemed. Spurgeon writes of Christ, he says, "There He stands. They have left Him alone, but there He is, still standing to His purpose. He has come to save and He will save. He has come to redeem and He will redeem. He has come to overcome the world and He will overcome the world." So that brings us to our last verse. "I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace in this world." No, "so you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." I have overcome the world. In a few minutes, Jesus would pray this for His disciples. Amen? But before He did, He would explain all that He had been telling them. And the reason He did that was to give them peace and a blessed assurance because He knew what was coming. He was trying to get them ready for the trials that were coming. Amen? Jesus would offer peace in the most unlikely of circumstances. At the moment that Jesus is telling them this, Judas is meeting with Jesus' enemies to plot His arrest. Amen? And Jesus knows this. He knows everything, right? He knows what Judas is doing. But yet He's still worried about the disciples. Amen? Jesus knew He was going to be arrested. He knew He was going to be beaten and mocked and tortured and executed. The disciples should have been comforting Jesus, not Jesus comforting them, right? But Jesus did not promise peace. He offered it. Jesus paved the way to peace with God. He didn't promise it. He was offering them peace. Amen? Romans 5:1 says, "Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus would proclaim the truth of His victory. "But take heart, I have overcome the world." This was an amazing statement from a man who was about to be arrested and crucified, right? He has overcome the world. As a third century man was anticipating death, he penned these last words to a friend. He said, "It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world. But I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of this sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are the Christians, and I am one of them." Have you given your life to Christ and proclaimed His victory over the world? Are you one of them, Christians? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you have not, or if you would like to just reaffirm your faith today, let's all say the sinner's prayer together. Amen. Next slide. Can you all see that okay? Okay. All right. Repeat after me. Let's just say this together, okay? Heavenly Father, I come to You in prayer, asking for the forgiveness of my sins. I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that Jesus is Your Son and that He died on the cross at Calvary, that I might be forgiven and have eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. Father, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and I ask You right now to come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins and will worship You all the days of my life, because Your words is truth. I confess with my mouth that I am born again and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as Christians, just as Christ, we have overcome the world. Amen? Amen? We have overcome the world. We may face many battles in this world, but the war's already won. Amen? The war's already won, and our victory is found in Christ. So God's peace and victory be with you all. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you.